Something that we just started last week is our series on the book of Acts. This is a series that I believe is all about turning the world upside down, because in Acts, that's what we see the apostles do. Jesus, he ascends into heaven. Jesus, he's there, and I always find it amazing, but the men that, right when he goes up into the clouds, the angelic beings, they say, "Why are you gazing into heaven?" Like, because Jesus just went into heaven, right? I mean, I just experienced something I've never experienced before. Or maybe we'll ever experience again, right? He will come back, but we're not going to see him go like that. And those guys said, "Don't stand here looking into heaven. Go make disciples. Go make a difference. Go." Last week we talked about that. But then there's the second half of Acts chapter 1, and we talked about that at game day on Friday night, and I find it to be an absolutely amazing section of the Bible. We celebrated communion. We talked about Judas, and this is a section where Peter stands up, and as they're there together, as the apostles are there, the 11, as the 120 people are there, as they're worshiping Jesus, there's about a 10-day period of time between the ascension, when they're told to go to Jerusalem and wait on the promise of the Father, and Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit is going to come. Now, they don't know that they have 10 days. They could have thought it could have been a lot longer, or they could have thought it could have been a lot shorter. You never know. If you read in the Word, some promises in the Bible take years, even decades to happen. You don't know, but they were faithful to go and to pray. But in those 10 days, something important had to happen. The number 12 was super vital in the Bible as you read through the Old Testament. The 12 tribes of Israel was something that was, it was just like the core of who they are. It was that number 12, the 12 tribes. And they needed to get their leadership, the apostles, back to that level and number of 12. Peter stood up, the one that Jesus had already said is going to be the rock. He stood up and he took that position and he said, "We have to replace these guys." And I would say that he gave a pretty good warning about Judas. He said that he had fallen away, he had lost his place, he had lost his position. And we know from the Word and from here that he, in fact, went and he took his own life because of the internal struggle that he had. And there's a cost that comes when we turn our back on the things that God has. It's not something that God wants, because God loves you. He died for us. But sometimes in our own life, when we turn our back, there's consequences that take place. And in this case, it left it where they had to pick a 12th apostle, someone else to be numbered in the 12. And I find the Bible sometimes to be amazing, but there's two guys that are brought up before them. And they do something called casting lots. You could basically just call it like throwing dice. It's a little more nuanced than that, but basically, or like picking straws, you write your name on a bean, basically throw it in a rock and throw it in a thing, and however many times it comes up, and basically you're picking straws, you're casting dice to decide the 12th apostle. I'm like, what? I've been thinking we should do that for our board next year, our pastor's board of ministry, just have everybody's names and cast lots, and all of you are like, "Oh my goodness, I'm just kidding, we're not going to do that." But here, there's this moment, and then Justus and Matthias, these two guys, one of them becomes one of the 12, and one of them does not. And I can just imagine, if you're the one that does not, you're like, now what do I do? You know, I can't ever really be one of the 12 again. I mean, that ship has sailed. I'm not sure what to do. But they were willing to serve the Lord. They were willing to be led by Peter. They were willing to listen to the voice of God. They were willing to put their church, their house, their leadership structure, they were willing to put it in order to prepare themselves to experience whatever it was that God was about to do, as they were told to go and to wait in Jerusalem. And in my life and in our church, I believe there's times when we have to realize that we must put ourselves in order. We must, in our own heart, say, "God, I want to experience you. I want to know you. I want to walk in you." When we think about the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about for a few minutes, or in a couple minutes, we have to desire empowerment, or we're not going to be empowered. I mean, we have to want. He's not going to make us. The Spirit's not going to make us do anything. We've got to be open. And sometimes that means, as we came before the communion table to remember Jesus, sometimes we've got to be willing to say, Jesus, will you forgive me? Lord, there's a deficit in my life. There's a sin in my life. Or Lord, maybe I just haven't said yes to what you have called me to say yes to. Whatever it is, Lord, would you make me right before you? There's something about faithfulness. There's something about consistency. There's something about stepping in to what God has, to going all in with the things of Jesus, to be about the things of Jesus. And I believe that the second half of Acts chapter 1, it gets us to that place where we can say they took care of their house. They took care of what was going on. They took care of even the sin of Judas and what had happened, and they were placed and they put a new person in that position. They took care. And this morning, I want to be someone that's all in, that I take care of my own house, my own spirit. Pastor Christian, at the end of our game day, the conference, the last service, somebody came up and there were two guys that brought another guy and said, hey, this guy, we want him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want him to experience the power of God. Pastor Christian said, you could tell the guy, he wasn't so sure that he wanted to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't so sure he wanted to be empowered. He wasn't so sure about it. But the two were really confident. Like, no, he needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think we could all agree. He needed to be empowered, probably. I mean, I would assume. And Christian, I loved his maturity. He kind of said to the guy, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you want that? And he's like, well, yeah, you know. Like, guess what? There's not a lot of opportunity for us to begin to speak as we're going to hear in another tongue. And there's not a lot of opportunity to walk in power, to walk in authority, to walk in what the Lord has. If I'm like, well, Lord, as long as I don't actually have to say anything, or if I don't have to change anything, or if I don't have to do anything, or if I can just be in my own little box, then I would love to be empowered. Guess what? It doesn't work that way, does it? Many of you guys, you helped yesterday with the breakfast. Yesterday morning, cooked eggs and sausage. I think over 600 and something eggs, if I understand right. Over 600 sausages, like all this craziness. I think we had 150-ish or something like that cups of coffee, or 100 plus, and those all were gone. Like, wow, these guys could eat and they could drink their coffee. But guess what? The pans, I remember, Aaron, you were over. I don't know if you were there the whole time, but you were at the sink scrubbing pans like every time I came in. Those pans did not get cleaned by you looking at them, did they? They got cleaned because you had scrub brushes and you had spatulas and you had everything scrubbing them off, trying to get what was stuck on there. It took elbow grease. The tables and chairs did not get put back just because some guys said yes, or Pastor Rachel says, hey, would you guys do that? Would you guys go over there and just look at it? It'll just move. That's not how it goes. But sometimes in our spiritual walk, I think we can say, Lord, I want to experience you. I want to know you. I want to take another step in my walk with you. But I don't actually want to do anything. I don't want to be inconvenienced. I don't want anything to change. I don't want anybody else. Maybe I'm just talking about myself. But sometimes it's easy, okay? It's always easy just to be where I am. It's a little more difficult when I come before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what this is going to mean. I don't know what this is going to look like. I don't know what you're going to ask me to do. I don't know any of that stuff. But Lord, I am all in, and let's do it. It's way easier to say, no thanks, I'm good. Empower me as long as I don't. Instead of saying, God, whatever it is you have for me, I'm going to do. Whatever it is I need to change, I'm going to change. Whatever it is that the direction of my life might look different, Lord, I am all in. I'm going to do it. And I believe that the disciples, they understood the importance of this. They understood that they had to let God speak. They had to let God move, and then they had to act upon it. Thus, they got their house in order. They went back. They spent time in the presence of Jesus. They spent time praying. They spent time, and then Acts 2, verses 1 through 4 take place. And it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Those moments do not happen because we wished that we were praying, or we wish that we were together, or we wished we were united, or we wished that something would take place. Those moments happen because we're in the presence of Jesus. We've been spending time in his presence. They spent 10 days together. They spent 10 days where they would come and they would worship and they would pray, and maybe they ate, or maybe they fasted, or we don't have all the details, but they came together and they were worshiping the King of Kings. And then it says all of a sudden. Now, a question that was brought up is, I wonder, we hear that number 120. Did it start at 120? Because let's say there were 130 or 150 that started and they left, and at the moment when the Spirit fell, there were 120. That means the 30 or however many that may not have stuck it out, they never got to the then suddenly portion. They never experienced that powerful moment when it says, and suddenly there came from heaven. Because it's really easy to say, Lord, I was in worship this morning, and that's pretty good. I was pretty happy with that, and to go home. And if I don't push in, and if I don't have a group around me, and if I'm not with people that are experiencing God, if I'm not there waiting, guess what? I'm going to miss the end suddenly, and all of a sudden, church becomes more religious than it does relationship with our Savior and Lord, because it's just about being somewhere. Or maybe they just mentioned outreach, so I guess I'm going to have to do that so I can be a part and check that off the box. But no, that's not what it's about. It's about being in his presence so that all of a sudden we can experience the and suddenly moments of his kingdom. May, I love seeing you. I love that you're always right there, because I can always look at you, and anytime I'm like, I don't know if anybody else is getting it, I can know that lady right there, she has had some and suddenly moments in her life. She has experienced the power of God. She has experienced him in a special and real way. She's been used prophetically. She's intimate with God. She's been used in the miraculous. And in fact, if I need a healing or a miracle, guess what, May? I'm going to come right to you and say, would you pray? Because I know I need to do better. I need to do better. We all do, but May, would you pray? Because I know you've been with Jesus. She's been waiting. She's been in the presence of God. She's ready to experience the and suddenly of his word. And today, the challenge, before we get to the Holy Spirit, before we even to pray, is, are we in a position where the and suddenly of his word can even happen? Are we in a position this morning where I've been in his presence, I've been in his word? Maybe where the last week that you've been reading the book of Acts, some of you have been saying you've been reading Acts, and there's things that have popped out at you. There's things that have been and making a difference in your life. I encourage you, get in the word. Are you in a place where the Lord can speak? Because he's been speaking every day, because you're in it already. He's been speaking when you're in their car, because you don't only have your sports radio on or your political radio on or whatever things we can do, but like, Lord, I want to hear you. I want to know you. I want to walk in you. It's not only being at my work and saying, man, I hope that the time goes fast today, but it's, Lord, how in this day, while I'm putting in numbers or while I'm taking care of my job, can I see someone? Can I experience you? Can I have an and suddenly moment? Maybe not even at church, but at Cardinal Health, where I can pray and believe that someone is going to come to know him, or where someone is hurt, or where someone's down emotionally, or they're down, they're exhausted, or whatever's going on. And I could say, Lord, I've been in your presence. I've experienced your word. I'm empowered by what you have for me. And now, let's do it. Let's do it. And we get some boldness up. The Lord empowers us. And we get up and we say, hey, would you mind if I prayed for you? I know that you're struggling. Or could I be of help? And all of a sudden, the Spirit begins to work. And all of a sudden, an and suddenly moment arises in our life because we've been in his presence. We've experienced him. We put our house in order. We've gotten rid of things that hold us back. And now we say, Lord, anytime, any moment. Because he's there. He's ready for us to do that. But now we can see him. We can know him. We can experience him. And that's what I want. That's what I want in my life. That's what I want in every part of who I am, to be ready for the Spirit to come at any moment. So there's the part of when we're home. There's the part when we're in the car on the way to work. There's the part when we're not with any of our Radiant family. We're all out in the community where we have to be doing the work of the ministry. Then it says right here, a few things we can pull out of these first four verses. First is, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. There's something important about being together. There's moments and we're going to experience God and we're going to be used by God and be ministers of the gospel. That's what we all are out there. But there's moments when we need to be together, when we need to be unified. Hopefully all the time we need to be unified, but when we literally need to be in the same place. Pastor Matt mentioned the Pentecost rally next Sunday night. There's something powerful about a whole bunch of people coming to church when you don't normally have to come to church and say, Lord, we're going to pray from 5 to 6 o'clock. We're going to pray for Ohio. We're going to pray for Ohio for Jesus. We're going to believe for the supernatural to fall, to come, and to move in a special way. And then at 6 o'clock, we're going to worship together. We're going to be together. We're going to be there together experiencing God. I believe that we're going to talk about, we might hear a little sound of heaven. You never know what might happen. You never know what might take place. There might even be, I haven't seen it personally, but it would be pretty cool if there were some tongues of fire that came down, right? Anybody else? That would be pretty fun. I'm not going to make it up or like fake it. That would be dumb. But if the Lord wanted to do something like that, I'm all in. But when we're together, when we come out, when we pray, all of a sudden, you just don't know what might happen. The Spirit of God can come and can move and can be glorified. Now, when we think of this together, they're there on the day of Pentecost. There's something special about that day. And I think this is very important, something that you can just read over in the Bible. But the day of Pentecost, this was a feast that it wasn't the first time. You might think the day of Pentecost arrived, in other words, is the first time, but this is something that had been going on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. They were there. They were waiting. This day of Pentecost, it could be called the day of first fruits or the feast of weeks. It was 50 days after the Passover. It was there 7 Sabbaths following the Passover. It's something that had been happening for years, that they would have known, that it would have been ingrained in them. In fact, the men were supposed to come back to Jerusalem for this feast. It was something where the streets were packed with people because people would have come to worship, come to celebrate this feast together. We mentioned this 10 days after the ascension. There's just something special about this day. Luke, I believe that he mentions this day, mentions that it's on it. Because they didn't have to wait that long for the Spirit. 10 days could feel like a long time, but I believe in the old day, there would be camp meetings, there would be things where it would go weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And by old days, I mean like 30 years ago, not that long ago. Right? People would go, they would be in the presence of Jesus, they would pray. It's like, when's this going to end? We don't know, we're just going to keep doing it till it's done. It could be weeks. It starts as 3 days and ends up as months. I remember the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida, and I think they were going to have a weekend service, and God started moving, and I don't know how many years that went on, but I know we went, I think, three times. We went, like, years upon years. We had people, it was so great, people would go, and they would wait in line, because you didn't get in to the service unless you waited in line, and so people would wait in line, and then the family would come and join, so we'd be at the beach all day, and then we'd be at service all night. And I would say I love worship. I would worship Jesus. And I was a kid at the time. And then during the preaching, I would sleep underneath the pew. That's probably bad. That's probably not what we should train but or teach. But I would sleep underneath the pew. And then I would wake up for the altar time. The music started. And we're like, come on and go to the front and get prayed for. God would move. I think even asleep, when you're sleeping and the word's being taught, I think you get a little bit of it anyways. I was like, this is a great time. Get to experience God. It wasn't that long, 10 days. But there's times when we've got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm not just going to go to one service a week, but I'm going to go. We offer the midweek service, and the summer's going to be a little different schedule. We offer opportunities, Pentecost rallies. We offer conferences, men's conference, time apart coming in the fall. Times when we can spend a day or 2 days saying, I just want to know you, Lord. We're going to worship. We're going to preach. We're going to experience God. And there's times when it might be in your own life that you just need to get some folks with you and start praying, doing at your house, just like they did. Find an upper room somewhere and say, we're going to go after the things of God, because this word, the truth of the Bible, is way more important than our boats or our houses or our cars, all the fun stuff, things that I hope you have and I hope you get to enjoy. But the word of God, if I'm not willing to study the word, but I'm willing to wash the boat every week or whatever it is, I think I've got it out of whack. But instead, I want to use every opportunity, everything Jesus gives me, mentioned a boat, to get somebody on that boat with me. It would be a pretty sweet place to have a prayer time out on a boat somewhere. In fact, if you're doing it, give me a call. I'll come for sure. We can have some swimming in the middle of that. We can have some fun. We can worship Jesus. But they're together. They waited on the Lord. Pentecost was also important because of all of the people who came back, who were there, who spent time in the city, that got to experience the overflow of what was taking place. So while they were together, then it says the sound of heaven, verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. This word for wind or breath, it sounds like a Greek word for spirit. They would have thought back to the breath going into Adam in Genesis 2, verse 7. Like, that's a pretty good breath. I mean, that's pretty amazing, breathing the breath of life into them. Or Ezekiel and the dry bones in Ezekiel 37, bringing life and wholeness to them. That's what the empowerment of the Spirit is. And there might be some people in this room today that you need so badly to experience the sound of heaven in your life. You need so badly to experience him, to know him, because you're doing your best. You're doing what you can do. You may even feel like you've been waiting, or maybe today's the day to commit. This next 7 days, I'm going to get in the book of Acts. I'm going to read. I'm going to study. I'm going to do what God has called me and what I need to do. But you need the sound of heaven to be revealed in your life. Maybe life has just been tough. Maybe you feel like those dry bones in Ezekiel, and you say, Lord, I need this power from on high. I need to be filled with your Spirit. I need the breath, the sound of heaven to come, to blow on me. God, sometimes he'll provide those external phenomena, those moments like this to confirm the internal empowerment taking place when he filled the church with the Spirit. And it's not about looking for a moment where, Lord, I have to hear, there's got to be a literal, wind in here. There's got to be a literal haze, not our haze, but like a cloud of, the Spirit. It's not about just I want that, but Lord, in my life, would you confirm through your Spirit, through your word, would you confirm what you're doing? Would you let me feel inside the breath of your Spirit, the wholeness of your life? I believe that wind of the Spirit, he's here for you. And I'm going to work here to get done in the next 7 to 10 minutes, so we have a good 15 plus minutes to come and to worship at the front. And then Pastor Matt, he'll stay as long as people want to stay at the altar. Right? He says yes. And I believe that today God wants that the breath of his Spirit, the wind of his Spirit, the sound of heaven to touch some of you and to bring freedom, to bring a new hope, to bring a new boldness, to bring a new empowerment, to make a difference, empowerment to go and to change our world for Jesus. To change our world. All together, the sound of heaven rested as a fire. Verse 3 says, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. It rested upon them. Fire, it was a purifying agent. And is an indication of the filling is not just for power. It's not just for a special moment, but it's for purification. Fire is also represented the holy presence of God. God was in the fire or of the burning bush. He was in the pillar of fire that led the Israelites. There's something special when the fire of God falls. And when they get to experience him, when they get to walk in him, they're together, when they get to have that fall of the Spirit, when they hear the breath or the wind of the Spirit, the sound of heaven, when all of a sudden flames of tongues of fire rested upon them, that had to be something. I can only imagine. I'm believing in heaven someday there's going to be like the day of Pentecost day where you can go into a room. I'm kind of making this up, but that's okay. But where you're going to go and there's like a literal fire over your head and be like, this is what it was like. This is so cool. Like, that would be amazing. The word of God. But he wants it to be just as real as that in your spirit, in your heart today. He wants to rest on you. Things that need to be eliminated, he can help you with that. He can help you as you just turn your life over to him. He's so good. He's so good. He loves you. He doesn't want any of us to walk in our sin or our problem. Sin is just when we hurt ourselves or we hurt others. That's what sin is. It's a big churchy word, but sin is hurting ourselves and hurting others. God doesn't want you to hurt yourself. He doesn't want you to hurt your future. He doesn't want you to hurt your family or your kids just because of how you were raised or what you know to do or the best you can do. He wants to come and he wants to rest on you. He wants to purify you. He wants to empower you to be the best you can possibly be. That's what the Spirit is all about, is just being all that God has called us to be so we can go from these doors, these walls, and see people come to know him. See people come into relationship with him to build hope and wholeness and bring that to our world. Altogether, the sound of heaven rested as a fire, and they were filled. Verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were speaking in languages they had not learned. And this is where, for some people in the room, you say, I like everything else to this point, but this is just a little weird. Like, I don't understand. And I like May's like, it's not weird. And when you understand, it's not weird. But if you're here today and you say, I don't get it. I don't understand why God had to have us speak in other tongues. I don't understand why that's the mechanism for what he did. You know what? There's a lot of things when it comes to the Bible. I have no idea. You probably thought I had the answer. But this morning, the word of God says they spoke in other tongues. Throughout the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, following in Acts multiple times, the Spirit of God moves and they speak in another language that they had never seen. Sometimes, as in Acts, sometimes people around them, it's actually a language that, like a neighbor, someone else they couldn't talk to, they start speaking and they praise the Lord. They worship God in that unknown language. They never learned, they never studied, but all of a sudden they can praise the name of God. Other times, it's what we'd call a heavenly prayer language, that it may or may not have anything to do with an earthly language, but it has to do with our heavenly language. In fact, at our men's conference, we spent time praying in the Spirit, worshiping God, because guess what, men, if you're like me, sometimes we don't know what to say. Did I just hear a lady say, right? She must be married to a man. That's very good. But there's times, right? It's life. But there's moments in our life when we don't know what to say. Ladies, there's moments when we don't know what to say. We don't know what to pray for. And all of a sudden, the Spirit gives us a prayer language, and we get to begin to pray in another tongue that we've never understood. We get to be empowered. We get to be filled up with life and with hope. And all of a sudden, we get a little bit better with the English part that we have. But we get to pray with the heart of God. It's not weird. It's not anything like that. It's empowering for us to make a difference, for us to be able to pray like we should pray when we don't have to have training. We don't have to have anything. We just need the Holy Spirit to flow through us. And all of a sudden, that personal, that private thing we do. Sometimes it shows up in a church service and there's a tongue. Last week, we had a tongue. Someone prayed in their prayer language and then an interpretation of that tongue. Sometimes it's for a home when we just need to be built up. It says to build yourself up in that gift. There's times when I just need to spend some time praying in the Spirit because I don't have the answer. I don't know what to do. Maybe you have worry or you've got anxiety. There's times when you just need to spend time praying in the Spirit because you don't have the words. If you did, you would just speak them and you wouldn't be anxious anymore. But we get the word of God in us and we say, Lord, I'm going to just speak out your truth. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to believe and I'm going to walk in you. They were filled. In Numbers 11:29, this is a kind of a completion of Moses' prayer that all of God's people would be filled with the Spirit. He believed even way early in the Bible that this moment would come, and all of a sudden, the day of Pentecost, it says they're filled. Throughout the New Testament, it repeats over and over and over. You boil it down, these tongues are a sign of prophetic empowerment for the continuing cross-cultural mission that the church is on. It's all about not a moment we have on a stage or on the front at an altar. Those are great. I love them. But it's about what we do when we get up out of the altar. It's about what we do when we get out of our prayer closet at home. It's about what we do when we have just spent time in the Word of God and now we go to work. And now we spend time with our kids or our family. Or now we are believing for relationships to be mended, but we've got the Spirit in us to be empowered to see those things happen. Because we're not talking in our own way, in our own mind, but with the mind of Christ. God is so good. God wants to move. And this empowering is for each and every one of us. And I mentioned that there's a special thing about the day of Pentecost. And when you read the next few verses, I'm just going to read them real fast. And worship team, if you'd come back up here, that would be great. But it says, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. The Holy Spirit was poured out and it kind of caused a stir. All of a sudden, you hear a wind like a hurricane, a sudden thing, something that's mighty. It might just call a stir. And it says, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Perga and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? There's something that happens when we get in the presence of God that all of a sudden allows us to speak to our world, to people we could never have spoken to before. It doesn't have to be in another language, but in our boldness, in the empowerment within us. We've got to be in the presence of Jesus. We have to give him everything, or else we have no hope of making a difference in our world. Pentecost Sunday, next Sunday, it's not just something we do because it's a special day. It's not something we do just because we have to. It's not something we do because we're Assemblies of God and we're Pentecostal. It's something we do because we believe with everything in us that we can't do it on ourselves. We must be empowered. And we're gonna have one extra service. We're gonna do it over and over and over again. We're gonna provide other opportunities to be in the presence of Jesus so that there can be a wind, a sound, there can be a tongue of fire that gets on us spiritually. That when we leave these doors, people say, what happened to you? What happened? And you could say, I've been with my God and my Savior. I've been with Jesus Christ. I've been with the Holy Spirit. Today, he loves you. He's got the best for you. And this morning, we're not going to have some crazy altar call, except I would love to have many of us rise, stand, come to the front, take a step. In fact, yesterday, Pastor Dave at men's conference, and men love being told what to do. He told them, none of you stay in your seats, right? He said, get in the aisle, get in the front. I should maybe do that, maybe next Sunday. But today I'm gonna ask you, would you, in your spirit, would you take a move? And I think that means many of us, we need to come to the front and we need to offer Jesus everything. In fact, I would love to see the seats emptied. We don't have to, but I would love to see people coming and kneeling and getting before the Lord. And maybe today you say, I've never been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I've never even maybe heard of it until this Sunday morning. But the Bible says it and therefore I want it. And if you say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you in a minute to come to put your toes right against the stairs up here. Not because the stairs are anything special, but so we can come and pray for you. We can lift you up. In fact, right now, fall over this room, if you would just stand to your feet. If you would make your heart a place to say, Lord, am I together with you, with the people around me? Have I experienced the sound of heaven? Lord, rested as a fire and Lord, am I walking in empowerment? This was something that we see the same people being filled. You've got your prayer language, but there's something about a refilling of the Spirit to be recharged up, to be given a new kind of extra special touch, an extra special move in your life. And I encourage you today, there's not one of us in this room, if you have ever given your life to Jesus, or if right now you say, I haven't, but I want to, there's not one of us in this room that is exempt from the ability and the desire, I hope, and the need to be empowered, to be filled once again with his Spirit. In fact, all over this room right now, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe you would just begin to speak in tongues, maybe just in a quiet way right where you are. And right now, if you say, I want to be filled with the Spirit, would you make your way up here to the front? We want you to be able to take that step first. If you say, I need the empowerment of the Savior, and I've not experienced this Acts 2 sort of filling with the Spirit, I encourage you to come to the front. If you're here today and you say, I just want more of God, I want to be empowered, I want to experience him, I want to know the word in a new way and be able to share that word in a new way, I encourage you to make your way to the front. If you may be like in Acts chapter 1, there's some things in your heart that you need to be made right, or you need to get put in order. This morning, would you find a place? Would you worship God? Would you offer him those things so you could take that second step of being ready that all of a sudden something happens and his spirit comes and empowers and fills you to go to be a minister of the gospel? If you're watching on Facebook right now, ask God, Lord, when you come, when you move right where you are in your home or in your car, on vacation, Lord, right now, all over this room, would you make this a prayer time? Would you make it a prayer time? God, we ask you to move. We ask you to be poured out in power and authority, God. Would you show yourself so mighty, so faithful, so true, Lord Jesus, in each person in this room? Lord, not for a Sunday morning experience, but Lord, for an experience that sends us forth in power, to be empowered as you have called us to be. Lord, for those that want to be filled with your spirit right now, Lord, I pray that you would fill them. You would fill them with your spirit, even as we worship. Lord, right where we are in this room, that you would fill us with your spirit, God. Fill us with your power. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you, God. You are so good. Right now, I believe that purification word that we spoke of, there's some people that you know you're not walking in accordance with the word of God. And God speaks to you and he says, almost begging, please listen. Sin is hurting you or it's hurting somewhere else. And when we say it's not that big of a deal, when we say it's fine, when we come up with an excuse, we can't see the result of that, but sin is hurtful. Today is the day to let the empowerment of the Holy Spirit purify you and make you new. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your move. We thank you for your touch in this room, Jesus. You are so good. You are so good, God. You are so good, God. We glorify you. We lift you up and exalt you, Jesus. Right now, where you are, we're going to begin to sing songs of worship. But I encourage you as we sing, let it be prayer that begins to rise up within you. Don't stop going after Jesus, but be empowered by him. Even as we're singing, maybe something pulls you or says, I need to make a way to an altar, to an aisle, or kneel at your seat. Don't say no to what God has, but be obedient to his word. If you need healing in your body, we would love to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, in your mind, Lord, this morning, we pray right now for a healing touch to be all over this room. Your hand, God, to heal and to restore. Your word says, by your stripes, we are healed, and we have taken communion this morning. We remembered you, and God, we pray that the empowerment of your spirit to do miracles would be here. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go after Jesus, church.